Welcome back to This Is America. My name's Ariana.
My name's Carmen.
My name's Kafala.
And this week's episode is going to be all about the election, obviously. So, Kafala, you want to start us off tonight?
Sheesh. Well, let's go ahead. First of all, welcome back. It's been a long time. How's everybody doing?
Good. I'm doing good.
Living that post-grad life.
I feel that.
Post-grad. We're living in a pandemic.
Okay, well, shit, I can't be happy about being
we got bigger problems.
You're right. How dare I?
Yeah, so this election. Overall, what y'all think? First things off, well, let's say give our congrats to Joseph Biden, our next president. Round of applause.
Our president-elect.
Yes.
So yeah, tell me how y'all feel about it. What y'all think, like the whole process, even before the him being elected. What y'all think about it?
Well, do you want to go first, Ariana?
Yeah, I can go first. Okay. Truthfully, it was. Gosh, what's a good word? Almost like living in a consistent nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Because I feel like it was almost like every day there was something new that was happening in regards to the elections. You know what I mean? Like, it was almost like, oh, I think it was in Georgia. They've only, one county now only has one polling place. They were saying a lot of absentee ballots were, like, not actually being sent out. All of, like, the fake ballot boxes that, like, certain people were putting out. And it was just really frustrating, I think, overall, just having to, like, watch, you know, our election kind of just be made, like, a joke and into, like, a circus.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so, like, disorganized and, like, it was never gonna end, basically. That's just, it's exhausting.
I mean, for me, it was just really anxiety-induced throughout the whole, like, the 2 weeks before the election night. And, like you said, in Georgia, there's a lot of things going on. And, like, I saw on Twitter that, like, a pipe busted at this ballot opening place or whatever and, like, flooded the whole, like, what the heck is going on? And I think, like, just from the PTSD from the 2016 election... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was just like anything could really happen. Like in my mind, I was like, okay, yeah, I think Biden's going to win. I think the majority of people are going to vote for Biden. And then everybody thought it was going to be a landslide. But like when we saw election night, it wasn't really a landslide. I think that first night, that first night was like touch and go. Like, it was like, okay, what's going to happen? And we didn't know till that Saturday. So I think it was just very, like, a lot of anxiety throughout that whole night and just really anxious about who was going to win.
Yeah, I think y'all summed it up pretty much. A lot of unknown. I know just, like, from the beginning of the day, that Tuesday, I had that same uneasy feeling I had in 2016. Because I'm not going to lie, in 2016, I didn't believe Trump would win. I just didn't believe it. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, same.
Right, yeah.
But I woke up this year in 2020 thinking, like, oh, please let's not have a repeat. Let's not let this happen again. And then I'm watching the votes as they're being tallied. I'm like, why is it so close? Like, it's a record number of as far as people that have voted this year. And I was just like, why is it still so close? You would think it is for like a certain direction for like such a high amount of votes. So like you said, just a lot of anxiety, even from that Tuesday to the Saturday, just on pins and needles, just waiting, just because you just never know. You've seen all these states continue to add. I'd be like, oh, are they going to switch? I was when I saw Florida got voted for Trump, I was like, oh, please not again. This is what happened in 2016, not again.
Just cut the whole state off.
Who's going to Florida?
I say, actually, really, you know what? Miami-Dade County and Palm Beach County are good. It was just that whole North Florida, Tallahassee, like, hick area.
Just insane. Like you guys said, just a lot of anxiety, just not knowing, a lot of angst, not knowing what's gonna happen.
You know, yeah. I have to give props, though, to, like, I know I was watching ABC News, I think, for the majority of it, and then C-SPAN. But, like, the political, what are they called? Like, analysts that were on? Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Yeah. They did a freaking great job. Mm-hmm. I was really, like, because I don't think I've ever actually, like, sat down and watched an entire, like, election night. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, we have backgrounds and, like, poli sci, so we understand, for the most part, exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so watching them, I was like, this is really interesting because they're making it easier to understand and, like, comprehend for people that, like, don't have any clue what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, this election was, like, the first election for a lot of people, like, that actually registered to vote. Mm-hmm. So
I think it was interesting, like, as, like, political science majors to see our first, well, my election that I voted in, and to see the whole process of it all, and, like, electoral votes, and I think we just had a census, so it was nice to see, like, the new electoral votes and who was going to win which state. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the most interesting thing, watching election night. How long did y'all stay up watching the election? Oof.
I think we went to sleep at, like, 1 or 2.
Yeah.
One?
Yeah. I went to sleep like 12. I was working up to 9, but every time I got a break. How long you stay up to?
I went to sleep at like 3:30 or 4 a.m. Yeah, I stayed up for a really long time.
I could not.
At some point, I was like, you know what? They don't got the votes yet. I'm gonna check in tomorrow and see what's going on.
Was like, how long was it? It was like 3 days. At some point, I was like, forget it. I don't even like care anymore. Like, I cared, but it was like, we're not gonna find out until next week.
It was so anxiety driven that, like, did you guys find moments where you were just staring at, like, the election map? And just refreshing.
I just was, like, refreshing Google.
On Google.
I saw so many different numbers from CNN. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It was confusing because different networks had different numbers. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think CNN gave Biden Arizona until, like, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But Google, they called Arizona blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was very confusing.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed, though, in North Carolina. I was really rooting. I know it doesn't really matter right now. Like, obviously, he still won, like, over 290 now. Mm-hmm. But I was so disappointed. I hate living here. I hate it, guys.
Yeah, but, you know, Charlotte, like,
the big cities, they held it down. It's
true. Yeah, Charlotte, Fayetteville, Greensboro, they all turned blue. So, I mean, what we expected turned blue. So
That's true.
I was proud about that.
Other spots is just...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Virginia was blue.
You got to be more specific, like, what part of North Carolina? Because I didn't look at that whole map, was just crazy. It was like it just scattered areas, a whole bunch of red, and then those big cities are just blue.
My sister, she lives in Wilmington, and her county has been, like, red all throughout, like, for years. And this was, like, the first time they've turned blue.
Wow.
And so, like, she said that it was, like, crazy because, like, if you were to go to, like, the county that she lives in, it's, like, Trump's, like, it's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that it turned blue, like, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised.
Would y'all call this, like, a landslide with the 232 that Trump got? Do you think that's a landslide?
I want to put it like this. I feel like, let me compare it to, like, a sports analogy. I feel like Biden definitely pulled away. Like,
because,
like, in the beginning, it was still nip and tuck. It was still close. You couldn't call it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Biden definitely pulled away. So the score looks bigger than it actually was, in my opinion. But I think Biden pulled it away. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a landslide. Biden just held it down.
I mean, Biden got the popular vote was 78 million for Biden and then 73 million for Trump. And so, I don't know. I think it was
just, I feel like it was just too close.
That's
how I felt. Yep.
He did win. He won by, like, at least for electoral, and, like, in that regard, like, he did win a lot. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that it was this close after 4 years of all that, like, that was surprising.
I mean, still half the country was red. At the only among of people who are registered to vote, people who did vote. I mean, half the country did vote for Trump, which is shocking to me. Because I really thought...
Oh, sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was surprised by... Was it Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Turned blue. And what was the other state?
Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. During that entire time before they turned blue, I legit thought, like, wow, he's going to win.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I was just like, I think he's going to win.
I think that's when I stopped watching it. I think that's when I was like, okay, Biden's going to win. Because I think Trump had to win North Carolina and Georgia in order to win, and Pennsylvania in order to win.
Pennsylvania.
And once Biden had won Wisconsin and Michigan, and then he was leading in Pennsylvania, I was like, yeah, this is a wrap. Okay. Yeah. And then even Donald Trump already, like, filed a lawsuit against Georgia. I think Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. So I was like, oh, he knows in his mind that he lost. Mm-hmm. So I was like,
yeah.
I mean, it was a wrap then.
How many lawsuits is it now? It was like 10?
It was a lot. But the Supreme Court just threw out all three of those lawsuits, I think. Or it was just Pennsylvania. So.
Dang.
And because, this I mean, man. There was... I mean, people just showed out, so.
Giuliani, what happened? I thought you were a big name lawyer. You're not doing your job.
I know.
But how are you guys feeling now?
I think after they announced Biden won, it was really just a relief. Like, I don't know how y'all felt, but I felt lighter. Like, I don't know if things would kind of go back to normal in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just a relief that, okay, he's going to be out of office now. It was just, how is he going to transition to being the new president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. Same here. I just, with this situation, I was just glad we can just return back to some normalcy. Honestly, I just wanted this country just to be seen as respectful, because the things that's been going on the past 4 years, him being the face of our country has not been a good name. So having someone that actually has that experience, and even we can have our opinions about him, at least we know there's some type of political background and he's competent to do the job at least. Mm-hmm. And he's not gonna divide people, divided like a whole nation. It's not gonna be that situation. He's not gonna publicly attack other people. It's gonna be, it's more of a respect thing, in my opinion. So it was just a sense of relief, like you said, a sense of calm. Like, this is right. Like, this is, let's get back to normalcy. That's, the 4 years was some BS. Let's get back to how this country is really supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, a respectable powerhouse of our country.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I celebrated the loss of Trump, obviously, more than I celebrated the win of Biden. Because, I mean, I've been pretty clear that I'm not a fan of Biden. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great person, but like just as a politician, I don't agree with how moderate he is. Because I feel like a lot of people think that like Biden's now it. So like, that means kids are not going to be in cages anymore, that, you know, racism is automatically going to be like gone, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people had that type of mindset going in. But, like, realistically, I know that's not going to be the case, you know?
Yeah.
There's still going to be children locked in cages on the border. You know, like, it's not... Just because Biden won doesn't mean that, like, all of our problems are finished. Not to mention that, like, all of these people that have been so publicly racist for the past 4 years, like, how do you get back to normal with that?
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I can say that I'm looking forward to is the lockdown that's going to probably be happening.
Yeah, I think that's where, because I feel like the two big things that was going on in the country is the pandemic and then Trump on top of that. So I feel like, okay, Trump is out of office. Now we can focus on like ending COVID, because we're about to go into our our 9th month in COVID. And it's like, okay, maybe we can get something rolling. I'm actually looking forward to this lockdown, because it's about time that we had a proper lockdown so we can ensure the stopping of the virus. So
we're like the last country, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I know we still have like more cases than any other country. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. I think New Zealand like is done with it.
Oh, I think I read that Italy had got like 100,000 new cases in a day or something like that. And so I think they're spiking in other countries, but
with like a third wave?
It seems like. But I mean, scientists did say that we were gonna get another wave of it. So
I'm just, at least like a full plan and an initiative will come to like address this problem, because I've been hearing experts saying that like it's the lack of response from the government of why this is escalated to the way it is, and all these, it's not being taken seriously enough. So hopefully that's his first plan of action, of just to provide an initiative to actually get this under control and actually start treatment, start putting things back into perspective and plans of, like you said, locking down this country and making sure we get this thing under control, because it's been too long, too long for as big of a country we are. It's been too long.
Yeah. I know I read an article that said, like, obviously they don't have a vaccine yet, but that they were close to having one, or that they have already been doing like trial testings, and one of the samples that they were doing like was actually like successful in a way. But would you guys take it?
I'm not sure.
Carmen?
I'm thinking, and I'm like, I don't, I think in my mind, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't take it. I'd probably wait a year. But I think just trying to get over COVID and not having to wear a mask anymore, I think if they announce the vaccine, I'll be like, yeah, let me get it ASAP, because it's like, I'm ready to be over with COVID.
Yeah.
You think about it, it hasn't hit us yet. It's been 9 months. None of us have ever gotten it.
And that's a blessing.
Or that maybe, or we could be asymptomatic. That's the thing. Like they said, we've all been like at least exposed to COVID in some form.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But like, sure. I gotta see the test batch. I gotta see the first person to take it. I gotta see the effects of what happens when they take that vaccine. I want to take it, but I'm scared. I'm not gonna lie. I have to see. I gotta know more information. I need like a guarantee of, is this actually gonna stop it? How many people are they going to test? And I got to see these numbers before I actually want to go out and take this vaccine.
I know like, there's like 9 different countries that have been giving like, what do you call them? I guess testing patients, or I guess people that
they volunteer to like experiment on them.
Yeah. So I know the US was one of them. I know the UK, I think South Africa, and I think Italy, maybe, and Australia. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, some of their studies have already been like released, and like you can look at them. I think this, though, the one that I had read, I think I was on, in New York Times, but it was saying how like so far the latest one that they used didn't have any side effects on the test subjects.
But don't you have to like? Isn't like the flu shot, when you take the flu shot, you get a little bit of the flu, and so your body can fight. I don't want the little bit of the COVID. I don't want that.
You just said that we're probably already exposed to
it. Yeah, but I don't want it. Like, I don't want to feel the symptoms of COVID.
just because you get the vaccine.
They say that you lose your taste and your smell. You know how, like, scary not being able to smell anything or taste anything is? Like,
But hear me out. Like, not to disregard all the people, like, who've had serious health problems due to COVID, but, like, if you think when you get sick, sometimes your nose gets stuffed, you can't really taste the smell. So I want to, maybe I would assume it's like that feeling, but, like, the way some people say it is, like, they're, like, down for the count.
No, I saw someone eat a whole onion. Because they couldn't taste it.
They couldn't taste anything?
Yeah.
I saw someone literally taking shots.
Yeah. Like, literally drunk a whole bottle of vodka because they couldn't even feel it.
Oh, that's wild. Okay.
What's worse, take it back. Corona or alcohol poisoning?
Corona.
Oh, I've never had Corona, so. So I can't answer that for sure. I saw how for. How do you?
I've never had alcohol poisoning, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, but there was something I did want to talk about before we get ahead of ourselves. How do you guys feel about, or how are you guys going to be? Oop, I'm so sorry. That's my fault.
Blowing up.
I know. I always say to put on Do Not Disturb, and I didn't even do it. But how are you guys going to be like treating or interacting with Trump supporters now?
I never interacted with them before.
I mean, like, if you, like, I'm saying when you had, okay, like, there were certain cases where I know for a fact me and Carmen had to interact with a specific Trump supporters because of, like, certain school activities.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to treat them like I treated them before. I'm not going to discuss anything political with them just because of ignorance and blindness. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to do the same thing I did before the election. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was one of the type of people that, let's say around 2016, 2015, if you were voting for Trump, I was like, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm going to respect your political beliefs. But at this point, if you still repping Trump, I don't know how I can look at you as a person or respect. Like, he doesn't support basic human rights, and that's just something mm-hmm. I don't mess with. So I don't know how you can support that. When you ask them why you are supporting them, they don't give a reason. So I'm like, so it's just blind faith, basically. So you're just supporting just to support. So I'll just ignore you. I just wouldn't continue the conversation if I find out you're a Trump supporter. I'm not going to interact with you at all. There's no point. It's just the basic respect level that you need to have for other humans.
I mean,
I just can't have it with you.
Trump couldn't even condemn white supremacists on TV. I can't be friends with someone or interact with someone who supports that. I mean, it's just disrespectful. So. Mm-hmm.
I asked the question because I've noticed after, I think, Saturday, obviously, when they announced, like, that Biden had gotten, like, over 270, there were several videos that I saw where Trump supporters were, like, taking down their flags and, like, all right, that was a good election. I know we lost. Now we just got to all come together and fight this. And I'm like, come together.
Well, I think Biden as the president does need to have some type of unification among people to, like, just because he's a president, he has to represent everybody. Personally, I don't have to be held to that standard, so I'm not going to. True. And so exactly. I think it is important for the president to have, like, because, I mean, when we saw unified. Trump, when he was just really focusing on his supporters, I mean, he neglected the other half of Americans. And so I think Biden's just going to try and bring the country back together and have a...
So let me ask,
no,
how do you do that, though? Like, if you were president, how would you be able to forgive and bridge the divide between what they did and then regular Americans? Like, how would you do it?
I think it just comes down to not alienating other people. Like, when you hear Trump talk, he always saying the liberals. I doubt Joe Biden will ever be like, oh, we got to stop these conservatives and things like that. Like, we can have different political opinions, but I'm not going to alienate your side. Although we can think different things, I'm not going to condemn you and talk about and go personal with insults and things. And that's what Trump was doing. And then it's like his supporters, when you support Trump, it seems like you're supporting that rhetoric. And that was the issue with me. But I feel like with Biden, as far as trying to unify, it's just, implementation of just not insulting others and like not insulting groups. I think that's the basic thing of what he can do. And it, like I said, it just comes down to if the type of people that do put down their flags and be like, you know what, I will, Joe Biden's the leader of our country now, I will listen to him. I can respect that. But it's just about the simple fact of respect of just making sure you're not alienating the group. You can't just insult people regardless of their political affiliation or their identity. So that's how
it's like a kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
Like type shit. Okay. Cause I just like,
what do you think?
I realize it's probably super difficult for people to want to forgive or be cordial. You know,
I don't think we necessarily, or he doesn't necessarily have to forgive anybody. I think that he needs to recognize nationally that white supremacy is a problem. Like racism is a problem. And I feel like instead of being like, oh, we're just going to ignore it, I mean, facing it head on and realizing that this is racist is a big step to unifying the country.
So you recommend then like calling out specific, like the institutions, like the
yes, I feel like he should hold people accountable, because there's a lot of racist institutions and there's a lot of racist senators that are still have seats in Senate, in Congress. I think it's important to recognize what's racist. He needs to condemn white supremacy because that's racist. And Trump validated their rhetoric and what they stand for. And that's not okay.
Mm-hmm. People need to understand, like, this white supremacy thing, it's not just the people that are in those white robes with the pointed hats. Like, it's the police officers, it's in Congress.
Exactly.
It's managers and things like that. It's not the stereotypical in those robes. So it's all around. You got to condemn that.
I mean, we see people on TikTok and Instagram like saying it's going to be a big race war and a big civil war, and not among minorities. It's mainly among white supremacists with Trump losing. And that alone causes like inner terrorism in the country. Like, who, like, he needs to face head on what the problem is and then find solutions.
Yeah, I agree.
I got a question though, because as far as like de-escalating it, Trump is showing he's not willing to concede. So if his supporters would be like, you know what, we're not gonna, the election is rigged, those votes don't count. Isn't Trump in a way still perpetuating that behavior and rhetoric by saying these votes don't count, trying to invalidate this? Because he's still giving that base power, like, oh, you know what, we can fight this. So he's empowering that type of group.
He's fear-mongering.
So, I don't know.
He definitely is. And, like, there's this new app that came out that, like, all the Trump supporters went to. And, like, if you were to go on it, it's just full of, like, just white supremacy, them denouncing the results of the election. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just really disgusting behavior. So, like, his effect, that's the thing, though. Like, he really is going to have a, like, he was, I think, just the catalyst. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now there's going to be consistent just expression of, like, white supremacy that's going to be happening. Because it's, like, this is, like, the first time that they've been able to really get it all out in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie, it kind of, it didn't really shock me, but like just the amount and the magnitude of how much hatred they all had, like, and just so quickly, like it just, like a freaking, I don't know, it just happened really fast that they were just so easy to like turn on the hatred and like just start spewing all of that crap. What the heck? Sorry.
No. Like,
but I don't know, like, that's why I asked about how we should treat and interact with Trump supporters, because I know I'm going to have a very difficult time to be able to even be respectful to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, I can't imagine, like, I don't know. But I can say, and me and Carmen were joking about it earlier, that now we'll be returning to regular racism.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you so much. Yes, everyone. I'm not Mexican. It's okay. You called it. You got it.
Yeah, I've seen that term used a lot on TikTok and on Instagram and stuff. And I mean, are they lying? No. Racism is still bad, though, and racism does still play a big part in American society, and which should be on the agenda for the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration. Oh, yeah, and shout out to Kamala Harris being the first Black woman to hold a vice presidency. So.
Absolutely. That's, congratulations. You know, big
breaking barriers.
Big deal.
That's phenomenal.
Getting that.
You love to see it. Amazing. I love it. Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, we better hold them accountable for every little thing. I'm not going to. Just because they won doesn't mean I'm going to forget everything.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, like, I think this election came down to, it was kind of similar to 2016, how it was a lesser of two evils. So although, like Ariana said, we celebrated Trump not winning, like, that doesn't mean you can just be in office and just be in office. Like, you're going to have to actually implement something to get this country back on track to where it should be.
I mean, he has a lot of work to do going into office in January.
Mm-hmm. He does. Because it's going to be, I feel like, a lot just reversing everything that Trump did.
Yeah. And
unfortunately, there is still, you know, a divide. You know, Republicans still have the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The House, we lost a couple of seats. I think we still have a majority. I know they're still counting, I think. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think if we were to look at it in a perspective of, like, a poli-sci student for a second, most of his term, if he does spend it reversing, like, Trump's policies, is going to... Oh, they're at 219, so they have a majority. But, you know, it's going to be him having to try and go through hurdles to reverse things, and that's going to take up a lot of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time he's able to do that, it'll be midterm elections probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same thing that happened with Obama.
Yeah, and then people will associate that with failure as he didn't do anything in office, but how can he when the majority is not in his favor, you know? So
I mean, he's literally being given a shitty administration, like just absolute crap, like the to way the that least. This, mm-hmm. like, it's just, that's so... As someone that wants to get into office, like, seeing how that was handled and managed is just, like, how could Congress let that happen? The whole institutions are a joke now. We look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Our Constitution's a fucking, just, like, a pile of crap now because we didn't even follow that the last 4 years, basically. And not to mention now our Supreme Court.
So much.
What is it? Yeah. 6-3 now?
Yep.
Like,
just how fast they, it's just so unprofessional. Just how fast they rush to get her in when there's so much bigger issues to that they could address is beyond me. That showed the snapshot of America, in my opinion, of where other priorities lie. That was just some bullshit, to be honest. I don't know how else to phrase
Honestly,
it.
Honestly, like, they asked her, what are the five freedoms that we get? She couldn't even answer that. How are you supposed to be interpreting our Constitution when you don't even know it? And then she kept saying, like, oh, I don't deal in hypotheticals. That's literally all you deal with. Like, that's literally what it's like going to law school. Like, I'm like, what the heck? Like, she's really a Supreme Court justice.
No, she's not. She's literally a professor who so happened
she's a number.
To catch Trump's eye and got to be Supreme Court justice.
Just a number.
Not to mention, did y'all see her church? Or apparently, like, the religious cult that she's a part of?
Mm-mm.
That it's, like, similar to Handmaid's Tale?
What? No.
Did you guys see that?
Nah.
Apparently... It could be just, like, those conspiracy theories, but I don't know. I'm just, like, honestly, Justice Roberts, but I felt like he was leaning towards the left a little
bit. Oh, I see this on the Washington Post. She served as a handmaid in a Christian group, People of Praise.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Well, there you go. Do you guys think that by Trump not acknowledging the results will... Like, what do you think is going
to
come from
that? I think they're going to have to force him out of the office. Yeah. I think he's still not going to accept the election results, even when Biden gets inaugurated. So I think they're going to eventually have to force him out of office. And I think leading up to the inauguration day, it's going to get more crazy, because I think I expected it to be a little bit more like tension after the election, but it's been really calm and everybody's like, you know, life is going on, we're just living in a pandemic. But I feel like when the inauguration comes on in January, it'll be more hectic and chaos.
I just feel like it's just a whole bunch of ego. No matter, Trump just won't let it go, and like they're gonna have to get him out of office. It's a disgrace. Like, you're a grown ass man. Just take the L. Like, what else? I don't really understand. What's the point of fighting this? Because, like, if you be consistent with it, why are you only the votes that didn't go to you? Those are the only ones you're going to count as invalid. Are you gonna? Do you want to recount the other votes, or are you just the ones that invalidate you? You know. So it just shows his character is he's a man child. He's not accepting this loss. So they're gonna have to force him out of office. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen by January. It's very calm right now, but Trump is tweeting. He's letting them know that he's going to fight this, but he's going to have to get forced. That's what it's going to come down to.
You know what, though? I think you mentioned him tweeting, and Twitter for the first time ever has finally like started addressing and like flagging his tweets.
It's about time.
And so I think my question now would be, like, do you guys think the precedent that was set in regards to how the media, Congress, state governments, just the world, like other world governments in general, have responded to Trump is now going to let future presidents be able to basically almost take over and take control of things that quickly? Because, I mean, like, it was almost as if checks and balances just went out the window.
Yeah.
So do you think this has set a precedent for future presidents?
As far as what, like, not being able to express through social media?
No. Like, I understand that he's a president, but at some point there needs to be some type of, like, lock on what he says. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, one, Twitter never really flagged his tweets ever until just recently. They've always just let him say whatever.
Well, they flagged the election tweets and the COVID tweets. I know that.
Yeah, but like, they didn't flag anything that he was saying with BLM protesters. How he wasn't at, like, how he retweeted something with like white supremacy. Like, there's been a lot of things that he has tweeted, and, like, I mean, like, didn't he tweet about the whistleblower at some point during that? Like, it was just a lot of misinformation that he so easily was able to, like, say, and there was no checks on that. So, like, Congress never said anything, obviously. Uh-huh. There was never a actual, so the Supreme Court didn't say anything. They'd probably say it's not in their jurisdiction. It's a political question. We can't answer that. I mean, even the media, like, I know that they made jokes about him and everything, but I feel like there was never actually any restrictions placed on him. And I feel like as a president, there needs to be certain restrictions placed on you that you can't.
Well, I already don't think that Twitter or any social media app should be a president's outlet to make a formal statement or anything like that, because it's literally social media. Like, If it's like a political, if it's like a formal statement, it should be, I don't know, on the news, a letter, etc. However it was done before, and I can't recall because these last 4 years. Yeah, a press, like a press conference.
Yeah.
Because I don't take anything that's on social media seriously. So that alone, I'm like, I think hopefully Biden doesn't try to make any formal statements on Twitter or anything like that, because honestly, I'm sick of seeing Trump tweet and people retweeting what Trump says on Twitter. Because he's literally up all night, later than I am, on Twitter. And it's just, it's unprofessional, and it's embarrassing.
That's true. Yeah. He is.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's unprofessional. Like, the highest person in office should not be giving their thoughts through social media. That should be directed by, like, press conference or even by their, like, staff. Like, I don't want to hear your... And the thing is, it's not even about policy in which he talks about. It's just, it's mostly sometimes just offending other people, just random thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, although he's the president, but the way he tweets is, it comes off as a celebrity. It's just a lot of BS that he says. So I don't agree with him expressing his thoughts through social media. I don't think any president should do that. And I hope Biden doesn't do that same thing. I think that's one thing we got to get away from.
It's like, I understand if they'll use social media for, like, you know how they'll have, or I just remember Obama doing it, but like the little Halloween trick-or-treat thing, or they'll have like an Easter egg hunt thing at the White House. Like, I get if they use social media for things like that.
Just very basic, basic things.
But yeah, like, base, there needs to be,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this president literally would make, I mean, disastrous comments that causes confusion to American people. And it just becomes hearsay at that point. I mean, we'll have outlets, news outlets saying one thing, and then you hear Trump saying another. And it's like, what's real? What's fake? What's actually going on? And so I think just not saying, I think, of course, having a person to do like updates or like small things like Obama did on his social media, I think that's fine. But literally on Twitter all night saying all types of things that don't align with news reports and everything, I think that could take a turn on your presidency.
So I want to ask this question. Do you guys think the president should be a part of a political party?
Isn't it when you run for president, you have to be a part of a political party?
Well, that's just
I think maybe when you get in office, you don't really have to align with your political party. I don't think that, but I mean, I think it's a requirement now for you to be a part of a political party running for president. I think so. How else would you run?
I just don't. Is that that's in the Constitution? Well, I'm just saying, because
that's still a party, though.
Independents aren't a part of the party. Independents, like, you can be like an independent, like Bernie Sanders. He's technically an independent, but when he's running for like presidential stuff, he ran with the Democratic Party. But you could do like grassroots campaigning.
I don't know.
I mean, personally, I just feel like this administration just caused like a lot of issues, obviously. And I think that the heightened ideological like strain that it created.
I think Trump caused that with him pointing everything against liberals and everything. I mean, if you're talking about like dismantling a two-party system, then yeah, I could see that being like realistic and in the future being a thing. But I don't think, I mean, as of right now, when the president holds office, maybe he shouldn't align his views as Democratic or Republican. It should just be what's better for Americans and citizens. So if that's what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm like saying. Like, you think the whole issue is that people start getting into their heads that it's all about the red and the blue, but if it were that the president doesn't have to be or shouldn't be a part of a political party, that you're only voting for the candidate that obviously has the best interest for America, in their mind. Because if you were to, like, take away, just, like, show people's their qualifications, their opinions, and their positions on political issues, don't show their, like, names or their pictures or political or party affiliation, you would pick through that. Who would you choose? Obviously the one that lines more with you. And I feel like political parties just kind of meddle that, or muddle, excuse me. And, like, they cause people to, like, care more about whether or not they're voting for a Democrat or Republican. Obviously, in this instance, in this election, it mattered who you voted for. But if this was back, like, you know, people looked at Obama and John McCain. John McCain wasn't, like, a horrible candidate. You know what I mean? I really liked him. I wouldn't vote for him, but I really liked his character and his presence and how respectful he was. If Obama hadn't been running in that, and it was just John McCain there, I think John McCain would have been a good president too. But at the end of the day, all people cared about was Democrat or Republican. I think that's the issue. Unless it's not.
I mean, like, no, I'm thinking. I don't know. Kabbalah, what do you think?
Oh my gosh. Did he leave?
I don't know. I don't know if he left. Well, to answer your question, Ariana, I think that political parties do have a strong influence in who we vote for. And I think it is ideal for people to just vote who's ever in their best interest. And that could be, like, a step towards not voting within your party. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime where people won't vote for Republican or Democrat. But I do think we need to take a step towards, like, helping other candidates who are just, like, independent actually have a voice in the election. Because I think, I don't think I did a lot of research into the other candidates. It was just mainly Biden and Trump. And, I mean, for this election, I think most of Americans already had in mind who they were going to vote for. I think next election, because I don't think Biden's going to run for a second term, I think it'll be interesting to see how many people actually vote in their interest instead of Democratic or Republican.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny that you mentioned, like, the different candidates, because it's like Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate. I love him. I think he's phenomenal. The fact that I feel like he's been trying to run for, like, ever, but I actually looked at his, like, position on a lot of issues, and he's, like, there. He's very left, very left. And so obviously he's a part of the Green Party, but I really liked him. I definitely, like, if it hadn't been for, like, this election, I would have loved to vote for him. Like, that'd be a privilege to vote for him. Like, that, it was phenomenal, like, his credentials. Yeah. I don't think
I did enough research on Howie, but I think, but again, in the next election, it's going to be interesting to see how many people vote in their interest.
That is true. I hope you can keep a consistent, you know, voter turnout, because this was incredible. Like, 50 million people voted in the early election. I mean,
It was interesting. And how many mail-in ballots there actually was actually interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's awesome. But it has been a pleasure being able to have a new episode and getting to talk with you guys. I haven't seen you guys, like, in forever. And obviously I missed our listeners.
Yeah, we have to do it again next time. It's going to be, I'm excited to see the inauguration and how the transition to Biden being the president is going to be.
Oh my gosh, watch me do, like, a special edition.
Of, yes, like, that would be awesome. Yeah.
I actually like that. Okay.
Well, you guys, it's been great. Thank you guys so much for coming on today. I appreciate it. And thank you all for listening.
Carmen.
This has been Ariana. And Kafala did have to leave, but he was here and he appreciates you all as well. So thank you guys so much and have a good great.